these days. I gotta get around to recording another song. I've been listening to this one. I know I can do better than this. But I was getting really good. And then we had that couple weeks where I just didn't have... I couldn't get 15 minutes. I'd go home and fall asleep, come back in here. It was work, sleep, and never got a chance. So I'm practice up this week, get another song going here for you. Yeah, we even got AC in here now, Vinny.
This is first place.
Yeah, I mean, just...
You're spoiling us, Frank.
Well, I got to tell you, and this is going to be your last show on this old board. My old PV here is being retired. We're getting a new board. I've got it in the back. I got to strip all this down and reset it. But we're going to have phone connections, so we're going to be getting calls from on the water. So it's going to be pretty cool. Anyway, I'm here with Vinny and the Fish and Frank on this chair. Vinny in the chair across from me. Greg trying to find change for a 20. And he's going to go stand on the street corner again. he's going to be out there a while, I'm pretty sure.
Until the cops come and get me.
I don't even know if there should be a law against it. There probably would be, but I don't know that there is. All right. Oh, goodness, it's early. Well, it's actually not that early. It's 7:30.
Yeah.
You know, and you were just, like, you couldn't sleep last night?
No, I woke up at 3:30 and actually thought I'd overslept.
Yeah, I hate that feeling. You know, you jump out of bed and you're like, oh my God, I gotta go. And then you find out, I'm 3 hours early. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah, so I came in early today. You know, I thought I'd get one sail in at 4 in the morning. That didn't happen.
Yeah, we did open up at 5 for a while. And we tried that, and it was like one person here, another person there, and it was too hard to get up, because getting here at 6, you get up at 5, 4:30, 5 o'clock, but if you got to be here at 5, I mean, it's the middle of the night you're getting up, and it's just too tough. So,
but, you know, I've always been that way, though. When I was working other jobs, you know, I come in early, I like to come in early, get ready. You know, get ready for the day. So, yeah, I'm falling over to this too.
I got to push a button. Okay. Yeah, I had to get that transferred back over. Let the fan blow a little bit, otherwise it gets a little bit stuffy in here. Anyway, you've been fishing actually quite a bit. You've had your wife Darlene and her family out.
Yeah, Darlene's mother moved here from Dallas last month. And she's been itching to get out on the water. So yesterday we took her and my daughter was in town again. And so we took them out. And, you know, our target fish was cobia. And, or just some volumes of fish for grandma to be able to get into some fish. Because she's never fished out here. And so we headed out and...
Now, what was the target species of the day? Just fish?
The preference was cobia. That's what we were hoping to get. And we were, you know, cruising along the east wall, just seeing if we could spot anything. And we did see a pretty good school of tarpon, that, you know, maybe a dozen tarpon moving across the east wall and about 5 feet of water.
Did the mother-in-law get to see that?
She saw the silver, you know, kind of a flash as we saw them. And we turned around, because we actually passed them, and we turned around and we tried to throw some lures at them and see what we could do, but no luck. Never could find them again. But yeah, she saw the tarpon. That was pretty exciting for her.
It's always neat to watch somebody's face the first time, especially if you can see like a pod going by, because all of a sudden here's these, you know, they're 5-6 feet long, a foot and a half tall, and they're just... And you see people's eyes, like they look, and you know they're seeing the fish, but their brain really cannot recognize the fact they're seeing that big of a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking at it, and when you think fish, you're thinking trout lady fish going by, you know, 18 inches, 20 inches, you know, a few inches tall, and all of a sudden here's fish going by as big as you are, and the brain doesn't actually recognize it. They know it's a fish, they know they're seeing it, but they just can't quite come to grips with it. And you watch that few seconds of, okay, I see it, all right, I don't believe it, but I see it, and then all of a sudden it's it's there, and it, you just watch the face transform through the whole thing. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, we were cutting along about, I don't know, 30 miles an hour, and I started to see just a little bit of ripple on the water, and right about the time we passed it, you could see it was about a dozen tarpon, about 6 inches, 12 inches below the surface, and everybody got to see it, so that was kind of cool, but we couldn't get on them, though.
It's tough. It's double tough. When the fish are just kind of moving like that, they're like, don't bother me. And they go through great lengths to avoid you. It's weird, but when they're feeding, they don't seem to avoid you as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. I mean, I've been out on a date, and I really don't want anybody bothering me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the primary reason they come here. It's a dating game, you know, so...
But we've had a lot of success on the east wall and the outer, you know, outside the sandbar.
Right.
Fishing along there. We've had a lot of success catching cobia, and we're always getting into shark. So if you want to catch shark, you just got to put bait in the water.
So now you're heading on the east side. You find your place, anchor up. How deep of water are you looking at?
We're looking for 4 to 5 feet is where we've been fishing, and we've been drifting.
Right.
So, you know, my preference is if you can get a west wind to get on that, you know, get on the sandbar and let just kind of drift out into the deeper water. And we've been fishing off the east wall and drifting towards the Alligator Creek Reef, and we've been doing pretty good there. And then we go further south, just south of Pirate Harbor, and do the same thing.
So, basically the thing is to get over there, and not so much anchor up, but get up into the shallows and let that wind blow you out towards open water, and then fire back up, come back in, and do another drift.
Right.
What are you pulling for bait?
We're in a combination. We're using shrimp. We typically have one person is free lining a shrimp, another person has a shrimp on a jig, and then I'll inevitably have like a ladyfish or a sugar trout or whiting, live bait, on a balloon, and just have it outside the boat. Kind of just free lining off of a balloon.
All right, so you're out there with the wife, mother-in-law, and you guys are doing your drift. What happens?
We ended up actually anchoring down near, I guess, just south of the last deep hole, 20-foot hole. And you know where that little, I don't even know what it's called, but it's like a little laboratory tower sitting out there off the east wall, south of Pirate Harbor. There's some little weather antennas on
right.
it and wind meters.
Yeah, things. They've been putting a lot of that stuff up, trying to check water flow, currents, temperature.
Yeah.
They had taken all that stuff out because they thought they had all the data.
Mm-hmm.
And now with them not dredging the shipping lane, and they no longer dredge at Boca Raton Pass. From 1911 through 2001, they dredged every 4 years. And no, not the hole in the pass, obviously. I mean, I get these idiots out there that go, oh, well, they didn't dredge in the pass. No, but they did dredge from the hole out and keep that shipping lane always at, you know, a specific depth and straight. And now it's changing. So the water flows and the currents in the harbor are changing. And while the state isn't bright enough to say, okay, let's leave it as a regulated shipping channel because we did it for 100 years, now we're going to stop and it's going to change everything. But so now they're at least studying it. And with the lack of rain and the excessive rains that we get, from what I understand, the climate change thing, nobody wants to say global warming, I guess it's climate change. What's happened now is we don't get as much, but when we do get it, we get a lot.
Yeah.
And you can tell that from along 41. They're putting in all these huge culvert pipes. They're changing some of the water flow in the canals and expecting a huge amount of water underneath 41. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And now, because of the climate change, they're reenacting all the scientific stations, you know, the monitoring stations. That's what's going on with that.
Yeah. Well, so we're... As we started to get close to that little monitoring station, you could see bait fish hitting all over, you know, bubbling all around it. So we shut down, put the trolling motor down, and we kind of eased up on it nice and quiet and started casting into the bait fish. We didn't catch anything casting lures and things into the bait fish, which surprised me a little bit. So we anchored up near it, and started to put some shrimp out and, you know, jigs and things like that. And almost immediately we started catching small sugar trout, and then I put them on a bigger rod. And then Grandma, of course, she started catching shark, and she's never caught anything like this before.
So, here you have the wife's mother out there. What was her reaction when, you know, you take somebody out saltwater fishing and they're expecting, like I say, trout and ladyfish and all that? What was her reaction when she started catching sharks?
She was excited. I mean, she really was excited. She, we had a light tackle, and she's holding her rod. She's kind of leaning off the boat. She's holding her rod, and you could see her line had been, you know, had been one place on the boat, and I looked around and looked again, and her line's way to the back of the boat. And I say, hey, Glenda, why don't you tighten up your line a little bit? You might have something there. And sure as heck, she starts tightening it up, and there it goes. It takes off. And she had a, you know, I don't know, 30-plus inch bonnet head on.
Still, that's a lot of fun on a trout rod. And so she fights it and gets it up. You tell her shark. Any reactions?
She wanted to handle it and wanted a picture with it. You know, she wanted to send it back to her friends back, you know, where she, the company she retired with. So, you know, we put the fish in the boat, got the hook out of his mouth, and got him to a point where he was manageable for her, and she was able to get a picture holding it, and she's excited. I mean, you can see the glow in her eyes.
I love that look. You know, it's 30-some years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was, when I started fishing here, you know I had those looks, you know, but after you've caught, you know, so many fish and all that, it's still fun, but it's not like watching that person the first time, and especially them trying to wrap their brain around the fact that they're holding a shark.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a 30-inch shark or a 60-inch shark, they've got a shark in their hands, and it takes a while for everything to register, and you see it in their eyes. I mean, it's amazing to see.
Yeah.
I just love that part of it.
Well, she kept catching them, you know, every time she, you know, and she had a jig and was just letting it sit on the bottom. And she caught three bonnet heads and a black tip.
Now, the black tips are fast, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's amazing the difference. The bonnets fight good, but a black tip, I mean, they scream. That's like catching bonefish.
You know, I swear the black tip seemed more aggressive this year. You know, have you been hearing that?
I actually was did a post about that on the blog and Facebook and all the rest of these things I do, and that it seems like they're actively trying to bite you this year.
Yeah.
They are actively going out of their way to, when you pick them up, and usually, you know, they kind of get a sense that, you know, you're just getting a hook out, going to let them go. But these guys are actually getting aggressive. I mean, you think shark and you think aggression, but they're really not that aggressive. Once they're kind of caught, it's kind of like they have a fatalistic attitude. Okay, I'm done. Okay, I'll just lay here. And the black tips this year, they're actively going after you.
Yeah.
They're looking to bite your hand. They're looking to bite anything they can get in. And the description always is that their jaws extend out of their mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there, normally you'd go to put the pliers there, and they might open and close their mouth in a snapping motion, but literally they're trying to extend those jaws out to get you.
Yeah. And, you know, we...
Is that what you're seeing?
Absolutely. And actually the fight, they seem even more aggressive fighting than what I've seen previous years.
You're getting them to do the acrobatics?
Acrobatics under the boat, you know, they're really running. My daughter hooked up, I don't know, 4 foot black tip, and that was a really good fight. And
it's crazy.
Nice
good.
Fish. I mean, nice fish on light tackle.
And crazy fight and fast. I mean, watching them go across sideways, and when that line goes to tighten up, it looks like one of those water fountains in Vegas where the water's throwing up in the air and you just see this big spray of water going all the way across.
And you know, I'm wanting to handle them with care, because we weren't planning on keeping any this trip. So, you know, normally if I got a black tip that I want to bring home and eat, you know, I'll hit him in the coconut with a bat and it's over. And this time we're trying to handle them with care, get them taken care of, get the picture, and then get them back in the water. So.
Well, when I'm doing them, I flatten the barbs down, just kind of roll the barb down as much as possible, because sometimes they've been a little more aggressive than I want to deal with and a little bit heavier. And the nice part about it is once you don't have the barb on there, even if you cut the leader, the hooks tend to fall out. They're not stuck in the fish. And so just the action of the fish will just work the hook out and it'll be gone. But it's actually amazing to see the aggression on the black tips. And they seem to be the one species that's really doing that more.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. I mean, more aggressive on the fight, more aggressive when you're handling them. You know, I would have thought the hammerhead or the bull or something would develop that first, but not the black tip.
You know, maybe they're breeding with the black tips. Who knows?
They're finding new crossbreeds all over the world, because as the shark populations dwindle, nature does have a way of compensating. And in Australia, they found several hybrid species of sharks. I think there's 4 or 5 now, where one species has crossbred with another species. And I'm sure over eons that's always happened, but not in our recorded history. In the last few hundred years, they've never done that. And I think you're going to see it with the bait fish, because when I was first here, thread fins were with thread fins, butterfish with butterfish, greenbacks with greenbacks, and now you catch them all intermingled. And it's only a matter of time before they're going to be spawning, and they'll spawn more as a group, and it's the DNA is going to mix. We're going to see new species of bait fish before long. It's inevitable for that to happen.
You know, I'm still not seeing a lot of bait fish, though.
And I just don't... I'm kind of surprised we don't have a little bit more, but I don't... It could be the water. It could be the flow from Okeechobee. It could be the flow from the Peace River and Myakka River. And it could be all these things. Could be water temp. But I think a lot of it's our cast nets. Because we have... And this is a praise and a problem, is we literally have some of the best fishermen I've ever imagined here. And these guys are really good. I mean, we have a lot of excellent captains. We have a lot of very good fishermen. And they can find bait. And they're just finding it too soon. Sorry. But I see this happening more and more. The guys are so good at what they do, and we have so shallow water, they don't have the places to hide. Now, I did hear a lot of bait out in the harbor for a while. Greenbacks, thread fins, all that. Deep water. And it could be we're changing the activity of the fish. You know, they're not bait fish that used to come to the surface very easily and readily and move along the surface. Now are staying down below the surface, even in the shallows. You don't see them. And then, all of a sudden, now I heard of a lot of bait out in the middle of the harbor for a while. I don't know what happened to it, but it's quite a compliment and a detriment to this area as to the quality of the fishermen.
Yeah.
Do you know that the west coast of Florida catch and releases over 1 million snook a year?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
Now, we've seen, at least from my vantage point, we're not seeing as many cobia in the last, I'd say, 2 weeks.
Well, you know, we've hit them pretty good, and they come in and do the spawn, and we took quite a few of them, and now cobia breeds, so there's so many cobia. When they go to spawn, I mean, it's just continuous spawn all year, so they're very prolific, but there's still only so many come in at one time, and boy, I don't ever remember this many cobia, ever.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, over the last month? Yeah, tons of cobia, but just recently, though, I'm not seeing as many, like in the last week.
But that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you get this big deluge of cobia, and a lot of people catch them, a lot of people catch and release, but there's a lot of cobia have been taken over the last 2 months. I mean, staggering numbers, hundreds, easily hundreds.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reminds me, there was a commercial fisherman who used to come in here all the time, and he went up, and he was netting, and this is back when the net thing was going on big and they could net, and he went out and he got 94 sharks in a night, and then he went back out and he got a dozen or two, and then he went back out and got 10, then he went back out and got 3, and he was in here complaining the fishing here was going to hell, there was no fish here. And I'm like, you think? You know, you got 90 some and then less and then less and then less, and then you're telling me this area is garbage because there's just no fish here? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, if you can't figure this out, I'm not explaining it to you, you know. And that was literally a conversation at the counter one day, and the guy literally irate, getting ready to move off, and, you know, he was moving somewhere else because it was getting so bad here. I was like, oh, my God. But, I mean, it all plays into part of it. But the good news is there's a lot of cobia to replenish those with. This is not a species where it's a huge problem. It's one of the few that they're actually doing commercial. They grow them in big pens out in the oceans now. And for actual, like they do salmon up north, cobia is one of the few that they put in big pens, and they grow so fast, they're so prolific. So, you know, I'm not worried about the cobia populations, but we do knock them back.
Yeah.
And then as they, then we'll get another batch in, and they come and go, and we're not taking that many of them compared to what's there. But you only get so many coming to the harbor one time.
Yeah, I wasn't as worried about the population as just it's turned off a little bit, at least from what I've seen. And
yeah, and it will, if this year is any judge, or so far since last fall till now, I think we're due for another run.
That'd be a good thing.
So many people catch and release that, you know, they get their picture and they put them back. And what's nice is because cobia is kind of a pain to clean. It's not, it's a big fish, so it takes a while to clean it. And I think we've got excellent people who are, you know, really kind of in tune with nature and want to release and not waste anything. Because at heart, I got to tell you, I got to think long and hard before I want to put that much work into cleaning a cobia. You know, it's a lot of effort. And I can think, well, I can stop by Publix and for $5 I get something raised on the farm. You know, just, why do I really want to cut those fish up? You know. I wish I could say I was a better person.
Good point.
But it's the good part that people now recognize the fact, I really don't want to clean this, but I'm not going to kill it for no reason. So I think, once again, I go along, we have some of the best fishermen in the world are here. Some of the best people for as far as wanting to take care of nature are here. We've really got a good crowd. I mean, it's changed a lot over the last 30 years since I started this. People used to go out and they'd catch a bucket, literally 5-gallon bucket full of fish. They would come home and show the wife and show their neighbors and then dump it in the canal because they didn't want to bother cleaning it. And they'd let it sit in the sun in a bucket all day. And I got to tell you, that's not good. So anyway, but on a, it's kind of a happy note, a little bit of a bummer, I think, but kind of a happy bummer that it's not going on anymore. So anyway, how's your take on the fishing right now?
I think the fishing's good. You know, as far as, you know, if you want to go out and you want to catch fish, they're there. You know, I'd say inevitably you're going to get a shark if you want to get a shark.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty hard not to catch one of them. I haven't gotten into any redfish, at least on the east wall yet.
Now, I'm hearing just north of Pirate Harbor behind the islands, there are redfish back there. A little bit spooky, but if you go back in there real quiet, like if you can get, maybe go way back, whichever way the wind's blowing, shut down and just drift across there looking close, casting, I think you can do pretty good on the redfish. The sunlight's now chasing them more under the trees.
Yeah.
So look for green leaves, branches overhanging. I think that's going to be the key to finding redfish right now.
And lots of snook. You know, I know they're out of season, but they're fun to catch, and there's a lot of them out there right now.
Yeah, we're going to try and I'm finally getting some people on my side. I've been arguing for the last several years that we need to move the slot limit up to 40 inches. I want to be catching and releasing 39.5-inch fish here, 39.75-inch fish, and get that slot limit up to 40 inches, let all of them breed, all of them grow, and take it off the top. And I'm actually getting some people on my side now, and I don't think it's going to be too long before I'll be able to go to the state and say, listen, this is what we want to try here in Southwest Florida. Let the rest of the state do their slot limit and everything else. But in Southwest Florida down here, you know, Charlotte, Lee County, we want a big fish law. We want to only be able to take the big ones, the old ones. I've caught a lot of fish over 40 inches, and more than half of them, most of the eggs, they weren't brightly colored. They had green in them, you know, and just older fish don't breed as well as younger fish. I think we get a much more viable population. I think we'd have, I think this harbor, and if we did that within 5 years, we would have so many fish that 39 and a half inches and all the way down through to the tiny ones that it would be staggering, absolutely staggering how many fish we would have in if we quit taking the best breeders out.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm hoping within it, sometime maybe by the end of this year, I'll have enough names, enough backing, enough groups behind me. But they were all convinced by the regime in power that this is not a good thing. We gotta, those are the ones with the most eggs, but most isn't as good as quality. It reminds me of their chain store mentality. I want a lot of it just because it's cheap. Doesn't have to be good. And so we're gonna get that snook rule changed. So lots of snook.
Yeah. You know, Frank, something kind of off topic. I went diving in our canal behind our house a couple days ago. I got some dive gear and went down there because I wanted to see what was down there catching our lines.
Right.
And if people don't know this, what one thing I found is the muck that's on the bottom of the canals is probably 2 feet deep of just real fine
silt. Yeah.
Silt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're fishing a shrimp in the canal on a jig and you throw it out there, if you let it sit very long, it's going to be buried, you know, 6 inches in the silt and be out of sight.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. But the visibility in there was about a foot.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how the visibility was. It was terrible.
Once you get down a little bit deeper in a lot of the canals, there's... Well, we just got a delivery of crabs. We got a real nice supply of crabs for black drum, tarpon, all that kind of stuff, cobia. We got a bunch of crabs in right now, so that's cool. So if you're listening out there and you want to go get some cobia or crabs or whatever, or cobia, or you can buy the crabs. We've got crabs for bait again. Nice sized blue crabs, about 4 inches. So anyway, is there anything else?
No. About it.
Oh, but just one last thing about that. Believe it or not, it's common everywhere right now because all the runoff and everything because of the maintained roads and all this, and all of it seems to drain to the canals. But even up in the St. John's, when I was talking to an old fellow when I was up there working, and he remembers all the grass and how beautiful the water was, and literally we were in 15 feet of water and we had a 35-foot piling we were putting in. And when we hit it to free spool and to drop it, sink it in the hole, it went down into the water pretty much, except for probably 2 feet of it, and shot back out like a dolphin jumping because there was literally more than 14 feet of silt.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that the canals we up in Harbor Heights, where I live, they've just got done dredging them all and all that. And we're seeing it more and more all over the place. And that's one of the big problems we have is silt on the bottom. And what would we do with it? You know, I don't know how to stop this. I think if you look at King's Highway and the ditches they have there, that's the most amazing feat of engineering I've ever seen. And when they're building these new roads, why aren't the ditches done like King's Highway? You've got deep water, then you've got very shallow water with a lot of aquatic plants, and then a overflow drain, and it filters the water just like the rivers used to do, and it keeps all the silt from going into a river and a harbor and stuff, and keeps it right there on the side of the road where it's easy to clean, easy to take care of. But what I don't get is they did this perfect thing. I mean, it's as close perfect as I've ever seen, but they only did it in one place. How come that isn't a model for all over the state and anywhere where we've got a little extra space to do that? I don't get it. Do you know what I'm talking about on King's
yeah.
Highway?
Yeah.
Isn't that an amazing feat of engineering?
It is.
And here you go, and you've got this ideal model, and it's the only place I've ever seen it. No, I don't get how that works. So, state of Florida, wake up. You did it right. You got one right.
Repeat it.
One right. Okay, we did a really good job. Okay, now we don't ever have to do that again. Let's just go back to the old way.
Yeah.
I'll get a kick out of our state. Anyway, so, Vinny, any forecast for the fishing? We got tomorrow, Memorial Day. If you're going to give somebody advice, where would they go? What should they do tomorrow to catch some just fun fish, ladyfish, trout, sharks, whatever?
If I were going to give someone advice, I'd say, you know, if you're heading out tomorrow or heading out today, I would I'd get out into about four feet of water off the sandbar, and I would drift the sandbar until you get into a spot where you're getting into some fish, anchor up. But I've been having my best luck drifting and just letting the wind carry the boat along the sandbar.
Yeah, I'm double-checking fishandfranks.com right now and see where the wind's going to be tomorrow.
I think it's out of the east.
All right, Monday, 10% chance of showers, thunderstorms, low around 70, east wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. So tomorrow's going to be perfect for, if you want to do what Vinny's talking about, head over to the east side of the harbor. Leave your motor in its lowest point. So what you want to do is get your motor down, idle towards the sandbar on the east side. When your motor bumps, turn the engine off, raise it up a bit. Now you're going to start drifting out to open harbor. So at that point, cast your lines forward, backwards, and towards the bar, and just allow that current to, or that breeze to take you back out towards the middle of water. Do about a 5-8 minute drift. If you don't hit anything, fire up. Even if you do catch something, but what I try to do is not go back to the same point. I'm going down the bar just a little bit and try and, like you're stitching the bar, you know, I want to come in at one point, drift out a little bit, then go a little further south and drift out a little bit, and then a little further south. If you're coming from the south, each drift should be a little further north, and you're going to cover more area. And you can always go back a little bit. If you hit fish on one drift and then you come in and you don't hit fish, you can always go back and try that next drift again. But you're going to cover more ground, you're going to have a great day, you're going to have a lot of fun. So just remember, shrimp on a jig, shrimp free line, and maybe a nice chunk of bait under a bobber. You cut bait, live bait, but something big with a bigger hook. See if you can't find something big to entice into that. Even if you just free line that big chunk of bait out. Because there's plenty of tarpon cruising along in that 5-6 feet of water out there.
Yep.
So what would you say? Drift out till you hit 8-10 feet?
Yep, about 8 feet. Go back in.
There you
just
go.
Just like you said.
So anyway, a little words of wisdom from Vinny, and we're going to get back on the counter. It looks like they're getting a little busy out front. And thank you guys for listening to Radio Fishing, and we'll see you here at the store. Bye-bye.